want to introduce to you the first in a series entitled, What the Preacher Won't Tell You. And today is part one. Part one is entitled, About the Origin of the Book of Daniel. And in other words, this series is about the book of Daniel, what the preacher won't tell you. And today is about the origin of the book of Daniel, and I believe you'll be surprised. But in the end, from my heart, I'll be challenging you, and I'll be challenging me. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment that has come. For when Jenny and I had about 4 or 5 days in which we spent together down in Arizona, this idea came in the morning during my prayer. And Lord, I didn't come up with it. You did. Now, I need you to help me because it needs to be presented the way you would present it if you were here. So Lord, take control of me. I want to be a blessing. And I want everybody to know that you care so much about us that you will do anything or say anything to get us ready for your soon coming. So pour out your Spirit. Lord, let the peace of heaven rest on this congregation. Keep Satan out of here so there will be no disturbances. And Lord, please keep our streaming live going forward without interruption. And thank you for hearing this prayer because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Daniel, the first chapter. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel, the first chapter. And notice what it says in verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand with some of the articles of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasury house of his God. And then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. Whoa. I'm assuming you know this story. I hope you do, because I want you to know that I'm not going to read every verse here. I got to get to the part the preacher won't tell you. So let's look at the setting of this. This was a time of great crisis. I don't want you to miss this because there's where we connect. He is being dragged from the protection and envelopment of his home and his philosophy and his parenthood to a foreign land full of heathen and idolatry. Time of crisis. Against his will, folks, it's a time of crisis. And if you know the story, you will know that there are three things that these young men were brought for, including Daniel. And the first thing was the king dictated to them their education. And you know that that means that they brainwashed these kids, okay? They had to get the God of heaven out of their head and get them into idolatry, so that they'll cooperate with the mission and with the beliefs of the king and as he puts them into service. And then he told them what to eat. And by the way, it was the best food, man. From the king's table. I mean, no captive was treated like this. You understand? But they're still forced against their will to come into these circumstances. And finally, their name was changed. And you might say, oh, big deal. Well, back in the near ancient Near East, especially Jerusalem, they named their children according to what they wished their child and his character would be like. Daniel meant God is judge. The king couldn't have somebody with a name like that. So he had to change the name. And I'm not going to go through all these details. I have these details. I could give them to you, but at another time. So three things. You're going to go to school, and here's what you're going to learn. You're going to eat, and this is the food you're going to eat, and a name change. Well, if you know the story, and you should know the story, as we continue here, you will find there was only objection that Daniel had of those three major issues was what? Diet. In fact, if you read it carefully, you will see that he said, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. There's the Hebrew word. Defile means to soil, to desecrate, defile, pollute, stain. It meant that the food they were going to be asked to eat would weaken them physically and mentally to stay strong for God, even though it was the cultural diet of the day. Ooh. I got to slow down, but I'm hurrying. I hope you see these contact points, folks. Where he was taken, they had a completely different philosophy and culture, and they were told that this food is the best food. It included alcoholic beverages. And this young man, and how many others? How many captives do you think were dragged over to Babylon? I mean, King Nebuchadnezzar didn't go that through all that for four people. But only four stood up. And they said, we won't eat that. We're not going to eat it. And the language they use tells us very clearly that this food was inappropriate according to the Bible standard. First of all, the law of clean and unclean. A lot of it was unclean food. Secondly, it was prepared wrong. Thirdly, it probably wasn't drained, being if it was flesh, of course, that was the main diet. It had to be drained and properly prepared and all that. It wasn't. And also, much of it was sacrificed to idols. And finally, it included alcoholic beverages. And they said, no, that's what that word implies. This was serious stuff. Now, they made a nice arrangement with the king, folks, or with Ashpenaz, I should say, the chief of the eunuchs. And the eunuch, he said, just give us pulse to eat and water to drink. You know what pulse is? Come on, what's pulse? I'm surprised you're so quiet. Pulse is vegetables. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. He said, what are you, crazy? When the king sees you all skinny and emaciated and pale, he's going to cut my head off thinking, how did you have the audacity to disobey my command? Daniel said, just give us 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they look better than all the rest of them. And so he said, go ahead and keep eating your pulse. What was the result? Remember, I told you, I got to get to the point of the sermon. What was the end result of this? Here's what the Bible says in verse 20. It says, he found them, the he is King Nebuchadnezzar, 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers who were in what? All his realm. All his realm. That's what the king found. But it also says this. It says in verse 17, God gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. And so, folks, let's cut to the chase. This is incredible. What is it the preacher won't tell you? I'll tell you what the preacher won't tell you. The preacher won't tell you that the origin of the book of Daniel is because Daniel obeyed the dietary laws of the Bible, Leviticus 11 and 14, clean and unclean foods. Has anybody ever said that to you before? One day I was reading this and it dawned on me, wait a minute. What if Daniel hadn't taken that strict stand and his other three friends? And you know what I believe the Spirit said to me? He said there would be no chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, 12. But there was, because they made a firm decision to, in the situation and circumstances so opposed to them, and the culture and the pressures and the idolatry and the world around them, not to neglect the law of God, what the Bible said. You won't hear that in the other churches. You won't hear them say that. And you know why they don't? Let me show you why. Let's take a look at Genesis 7:2. I shouldn't have showed you that. I should have played the game with you first. When I'm studying this issue, clean and unclean, with other people, I say to them, okay, tell me something. How did the animals get on the ark? Oh, they went on 2x2. And I go, what? They went on by 2x2. And I go, no, that's not what the Bible says. And they look at me like, are you nuts? I said, well, let's turn to Genesis, the 7th chapter. And let's look at verse 2. And notice what it says. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and a female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, male and female. And let's get a move on here. The best I could understand, and please remember, it's a duck shoot when it comes to figuring out the genealogy of the Bible. The best I could figure out is from Noah to Abraham is either 292 years or 352 years or 400 years. So what's the point? Everybody will tell you, oh, I don't have to worry about clean and unclean because that's a Jewish dietary law. Ha. Okay. Who do you think the first Jew was? Adam? By the way, I'm not even sure it was Abraham. Jacob is the one that was called Israel, but I went to Abraham. 300 years for sure, before there was ever a Jew, God made the distinction between clean animals and unclean animals because before the flood, the diet was Paul's. The diet was fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables, but God knew very well after the flood, He incorporated meat in there. And so before He even gave Noah permission to eat meat, He told them about clean and unclean. You're not going to hear that from the other preachers. They don't believe it. Oh, but they say, well, what about Acts? Didn't Peter do away? God did away with that with Peter. I want you to read this. And by the way, I feel bad that we're so short on time. I would sit with you in the fellowship hall, take you through these next 3 chapters, and you'll be astounded that what is proven there is so obvious that all the rest of them missed it. This is what the preacher won't tell you. Take a look at this quick part of the story, and then I will close it off for you. So I've got Acts 10, and I'm going to start with verse 10, or I'll start with 9. The next day, as they went on their journey, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. I guess I'm going to start with, what am I going to do? I'm going to start with verse 10. It just says it says, then he became very hungry, this is Peter, and wanted to eat. But while they made their food, Peter fell into a trance, okay? And saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, and that voice, by the way, wasn't human. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. And notice who he's answering. The Lord. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Boy, could we go into that? Those two words are amazing. Anyway, and the voice spoke to him again a second time, and said, what God has cleansed you must not call common. This is done three times, and the object was taken to heaven again. See, there it is. God declared all foods edible, right? Right? Okay, at least you gave me the right answer. Okay, no. Why no? Here's why. Verse 17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision meant, obviously, you know, there's another incident in the Bible just like this. What if you were Abraham? And in the middle of the night, God spoke to you and said, take your son and go kill him. God. By the way, I checked that out. I looked at it very closely, and I discovered up till that point, Abraham had heard God's voice 25 times. He knew that was God's voice. This is shaky, folks. Imagine if you were told to do that, but you better know the voice of God because Satan will tell you to do the same thing. And so Peter was wondering, what does this mean? And then the Spirit said to him, arise therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So while he's trying to figure out what this means, he found out that Cornelius had sent servants to Simon's house, and they knocked at the door exactly as he was trying to think, what in the world does this mean? And then Peter is now going with them to see Cornelius and his family. And here's what Peter says, folks. Here's what he says. Then Peter said, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any, what? No, meat, right? Right? That says meat. That says food, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. He pondered, what in the world did God mean by this? He didn't mean anything to do with food. He caught Peter's attention where he would be focused completely because it contradicted the laws he learned. And he said that no man is common and no man is unclean. So don't tell me that in the New Testament Peter changed it. He didn't. Well, there's another thing that they'll say to you. Well, in Mark 7:19, it says, for it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all food clean. There it is, folks. I was wrong. And they point this out to me. And so I did a lot of research on this and I discovered something. What do you notice about the phrase, in saying this, Jesus declared all food clean? What is it? What do you notice? There's got to be a math major in here. I'm a math major, an English major. What do you notice about it? The parentheses are put there because the best commentators recognize that that is not in the original version. It was added as a commentary by a scribe. Because this whole story of clean and about, you know what this was about? The religious leaders came up to Jesus and said, hey, why are your disciples eating bread with unclean hands? Because they didn't go through the ritual washings that we have set out in our 633 laws besides the Ten Commandments. And he says, you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. And then he goes in to tell, when you eat food, it doesn't go into your heart. It goes into your stomach and it comes out. And this has nothing to do with clean and unclean foods. So don't point that out to me. And folks, I want to tell you, these are good, honest Christian people that have been taught this from their pulpits. Their preachers won't tell them because their preachers don't know this. But we do. Daniel knew it. And in spite of the circumstances around him, he stuck in it. In spite of the crisis. And so, the origin of the book of Daniel is because Daniel obeyed the dietary laws of the Bible, Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, about clean and unclean foods. Ezekiel 22:26, about why Israel went into captivity. Her priests have violated what? My law. Does it say Jewish law? No, my law. And have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. By the way, up here where it says violated, in the Hebrew, that means offered violence to my law. The clean and unclean is God's law, not the Jewish law. And the reason they went into captivity is they were ignoring that law. Now, I have to do this. By the way, I think I'm really close to being done. But I have to do this because sometimes the obvious doesn't appear so obvious. For example, and don't anybody raise your hand, and certainly don't smile at me. Do you drink caffeine? You know, people walking around like this all day long. That's a drug. The church teaches and believes that caffeine is a drug. And now, it's very fashionable for Adventists to drink caffeinated products. It's not a really big deal. I mean, it's not going to keep me from going to heaven. Well, I want you to know something. Daniel disagrees with me and you. He does. Now, so I'm trying to bring this to something obvious so that you see where we're going. Daniel said, I'm sorry, but I can't drink that. It will affect my brain, and I can't afford in the circumstances I'm living in this crisis that is occurring, to have a cloudy mind. By the way, when I say caffeine, nicotine, it doesn't just affect the brain. Here's what it affects. Because every part of your body is attached from your brain through your spinal cord to every single little fingertip. And Daniel said, no, I can't, because it will affect me negatively. So, what will the preacher not tell you? They don't know about the clean and unclean, and they're not going to tell you about that. But now, what about Seventh-day Adventists? You know what this is now? We're living in what? The Day of Atonement. Now see, we're supposed to I'm taking it for granted you understand all this. The Day of Atonement was the day in which the Jewish congregation humbled themselves and fasted and came to the sanctuary, and they surrounded the sanctuary in prayer while the high priest went into the most holy place to cleanse the sins from the congregation. And by the way, no person had the audacity to come to the sanctuary all decked out, because they knew that nothing on the outside could ever commend you to God, and it wasn't appropriate. And so they came very humbly. It's the only feast. How many feasts are there? Seven. Oh, good. You're really good. Seven feasts. The only feast that requires a fast is the Day of Atonement. We are living in the Day of Atonement. We should be fasting. Now, when I say fast, you know that means leaving off food. But when I say fast today, this is what I mean. This translates that today we should be eating a plant-based diet for the clearer mind and a healthier body. And you might not hear that from other Adventist pulpits. You know why? Because the people get mad. The preacher's telling what I can eat and what I can't eat. And he has no business doing that. Daniel has a different attitude. And God gave me this series of sermons to bring all of us, to confront us with these issues. All the medical science, all the scientists, all the nutritionists are pushing a plant-based diet. Why Adventists are rallying in being different from what the church really pushed 20 years ago. So you're not going to hear from some Adventist pulpits. You're not going to hear that statement, folks. What the preacher won't tell you. But you're going to come to this church, as long as God's in charge, you're going to hear it. I need it. See, let me tell you what. If I go home and go in my closet and pull out my Burger King, sooner or later, you're going to discern a hypocrite in your midst. Right? What the Bible says, your sins will find you out. By the way, why is that a sin? Because I'm claiming I don't do that. See? So be careful what you're going to accuse me of now. So if I go home and I do that, I'm a hypocrite. If I say it in front of you, I go, I better not do that. You know? Lord, get these thoughts out of my mind. But the preacher won't tell you. Folks, we're in a sad situation in these days that we're living. My heart goes out to those honest, beautiful, loving, sincere Christians in other churches that are not hearing the truth. But my heart aches when the Adventists are acting just like them. Look what he said in Exodus 15:26, as they were coming out of Egypt, going to the promised land. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. There it is. Now, I was astounded. I knew of this text. You knew of this text. Maybe you haven't heard this. If you haven't, I feel really bad. I heard this a while ago because I like to listen to other preachers. Do you know when MRI came into existence, or sonogram or whatever, you know what they did? They began to use those on mummies. And you know what they discovered? I hope most of you say no, because I like giving you something you don't know. They discovered that the Egyptians were plagued with the very same diseases we have today. Cancer, diabetes, heart attack. They, by MRIing, and I guess the way they're preserved, they still hold the telltale sign that it's very obvious, and then all of a sudden these intellectual scientific researchers began to publish their data, and everybody was shocked. It wasn't different. It was the same. Just like you and I. So folks, we've got to obey the Lord's voice. That's not easy. I understand that. But let's start somewhere. What is it that's keeping you from coming closer to God? In these last days, our minds have to be completely pure. Our bodies have to be as strong as possible, because the deceptions are more incredible than ever. And if we're eating or drinking the wrong thing, we are not Daniel, and there'll be no the rest of the book of Daniel, and the prophecies in there set the stage for the book of Revelation. I know God would have raised somebody else up to write it. I understand it. But I had to say it. I want to be like Daniel. Sometimes I'm not like Daniel, but I want to be like Daniel. Oops. I don't want that. Okay, I'll keep that. What the preacher won't tell you. Next week, part two, is the foundation of the book of Daniel. They won't tell you about the foundation of the book of Daniel. Charles Smith. I looked him up on the internet and got 6 billion people. Charles Smith, president of the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism. Got to listen to this. Reported that the lack of opposition was the cause of the decline of atheism. I want that to sink in. That the lack of opposition was the cause of the decline of atheism. Quote, we don't have the old repressive religion that stimulates atheism. And they don't preach hellfire and Jonah in the whale anymore. They go in for this cheer them up religion. That's not the old time religion. It may be that this new sort is not so bad, but they don't let it interfere with their lives. They spend more time in the old days pleasing God. Now they try to please their fellow man. Not here at paradise. With love, let's hold the standard up and let's fight together to overcome these habits that we have developed, all of us, so that as a unit we can go to this world who are sick and weak and feeble and intoxicated and addicted to everything and help them. Because we have clear minds and strong bodies. Father, I pray that you would bless everyone in this sanctuary today as we start this new series. And Lord, I know that You initiated this and You had a reason, and all I can do is obey, but I wonder who's going to be mad, who's going to say something negative. But Lord, it never bothered You, even though it bothers me. I pray You help us all, Lord. You're coming soon and we're really not ready. I'm not ready. I want to be ready. But how can we help other people be ready if we're just like them? So please move upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But let us support one another. Let us not gossip, and let us not, if we see somebody do something, share it all around instead of go to that brother, go to that sister and say, what can I do to help? Or go home and pray for them. So help us, Lord, and bless us, and grow our church so we can grow Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.